I don't know if you know this, but I'm a very visual person. I imagine I have like little videos to play in my head, and I think I'm stable, but I think God uses that, and I guess I could call it a vision. It sounds kind of spiritual, but I have this one vision I've had numbers of times that I've had ever since we started in this church, and it's right out here in this parking lot. And I imagine myself coming in on a Sunday morning really early, and I land here, and the church is totally down, crumbled and burning, nothing to be saved. And then a guy comes up to me in this vision and says, by the way, there's been a problem with the deed. You no longer own the property. And I remember, and so I have this imagery of everybody coming in, and we're all just standing out there. And then God always asks me a question. What do you have? It's a rattling question. Like, what have we built in the church that will stay? What will remain in this body of Christ with nothing, with circumstances, with everything not good? I have another bizarre thing I think about. Sorry to get you into my mind so much here. But another one I think about is this one. I've had this during a prayer time where, you guys seen The Sound of Music? Of course you have. What's the scene you think of? The hills are alive. What's the sound, right? You can almost picture it. Most of you can. Oh, sound of music. So, thank you, Randy. And so, Randy, come over and do that with me now. So green, lush grass, beautiful flowers, blue sky, just this feeling of life away from the Nazis and the evil, and you're the, right? So, I have that same picture with a bunch of Christians, and filled with joy, but I look around, and it's like a nuclear bomb has gone off. It's just gray and dusty and cloudy, and there's no living thing there. But among this group of people, they're filled with joy. They have security. They have fulfillment. They sense God, right? And it really, these things are just getting at the spot that Jesus talks about quite a bit in Scripture, saying when we invest, we need to invest in things that last forever, right? When all the circumstances change, when physical stuff is gone, what we have in God is eternal. And so he's always saying, don't be putting your investment into something that's not eternal. Be putting those things that last forever, the things that can't rust away, right? And as a church, that's what our desire is. We want that. We want to be able to do that. Now, a few years ago, Caleb and I and the pastoral council were at this restaurant, and Caleb began talking about this thing. He said, I think there's this thing I feel like God's been showing me about essential things in our church. And he took a while for him to sell us on it, but we kept processing it. Pretty soon it just became clear, this is right. This is what God has for us as a church. We started thinking about, what is it that's essential? If we're the body of Christ, you know, what is it that is essential that we have every time we gather? You know, there's a lot of other things. We want good coffee, and I know it's hard to believe, those aren't the essentials, right? There's some other things. It's things that what builds things in the kingdom, in our hearts, what transforms us, what is eternal. As we thought about that, we started looking at it's really getting to that point of what are we building here and what remains? And so the essentials is this place of whatever counts to build in these things that remain. And here's the four essentials that we have talked about for years now, and we're just now doing this series kind of helping you understand that more. Is whenever we are together, you know, it can be two people or 200 people, right? Whenever together, we want these things. We want to experience love between us, one another. We want God's love to be among us, right? We want to experience loving one another. And we want to experience God's presence. We want to experience God's truth, and we want to experience God's power. And so we've now been looking at everything we do and saying, how do we make sure these things, these essentials, at different degrees, but how are these in everything that we do? And so as we look at that, you know, the thing that Caleb talked about is, as far as this thing is, you know, every time we gather, these four essentials, we want them to be there. So whatever you're doing, We think if we're building the church that God, that Jesus loves deeply, who's fully committed to, that we have to be fully committed to, how do we build him? Because he builds it through us, right? He's building his church, but he does it through what? He does it through us. And so as we're talking about this, is that, you know, how's the challenge that Caleb had last week is, how is Jesus building his church? How does he do that, right? And then what is your part? And so this series, we're going to be talking about that. And we're going to take four different essentials and say, how do we bring those? How do those come through us? And how do we make those priorities every time we gather? Now, we're going to be talking today about bringing God's love. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. Now, this is over and over in Scripture. You can't get around this. This is Jesus talks about it over and over. In the writings to the churches, it's spoken over and over. It's talking about in Romans that if you want to summarize everything, just love each other. And that's a pretty strong statement. And the way you love each other is not like, I kind of love each other. It's like, no, love each other as Christ loved you. That's something to work on for a while, right? And this is central in how we approach things. And so what we see in Acts, and we see this birth of this place of community and the church being interconnected and people who are different coming together, and it's all tied to this place that God has given us love for one another. You know, even the revelations that was brought up last week is that the complaint I have against you is you don't love me and each other as you first did. Not just God. They turned away from loving God, but they also turned away from loving each other. You know, we used a lot of words last week to describe the image, the thought that comes to your mind when you hear church. And unfortunately, there was a lot of negative ones there. I mean, there's a few good ones, right? But there's a lot of them, you know, and don't we know that? The church, boring, not relevant, judgmental, all those kind of things. And so what happens, I think we understand we had this issue. But what can happen sometimes is we find ourselves thinking, okay, we have to get things better, which is actually a good idea to think of how do you do things better? How do you do worship better? How do you do prayer ministry better? How do you do teaching better? How do you do children's program better? You know, how do you have better coffee? How do you have better building? And very important things. Those are environments in which allow it to be easy for the Spirit to move. But we have to understand, unless everything we do is based on loving one another, it makes it nothing. It just discounts it. It just becomes a program. The foundation of the church is loving one another, right? In a way that Christ loved us. Now, it has to be priority. Now, this is a statement that sounds simple at first, but do you understand you have God's love in you? Now, that sounds kind of nice, but it's legitimately different once you have the Holy Spirit within you. You actually have, we talked about identity, this is your true identity, you may not know it, but this is who you are in Christ. You have God's love actually in you. It says, for we know how he dearly loved us because he has given us his Holy Spirit in our hearts, filled with his love. Paul one time is asking the Corinthians to say, would you enter into the struggle I have? And here's why I want you to do that. You can do this because the love for me has been given to you by the Holy Spirit. It's like, I'm not just asking for your love. I'm wanting God's love to come through you. I need you to step up and be who you are, people who love. And this is a wild thing. You are made to love people. That's your design. It's where your life comes from. Now, As we think about this, is that what we quickly understand is God's love is a little different than human love, right? In fact, when the disciples were trying to figure this out, he goes, wait a second, you're doing exactly what the tax collectors and the regular pagans, the people who don't have any connection to God, they do the same thing, is they love you and you love them back. It's reciprocating love, you know? So, you know, it's the kind of thing of like, human love is like, it has to reciprocate, you know. If I'm nice to Katie, I want her to be nice to me. She quits being nice to me, I find, oh, Rob, you know, it's like, nice. Oh, it goes Rob. No, I'll move over here. You know, I'll go to Randy. And we think, oh, I need reciprocation, right? It has to at least even out, right? Because what? I'll get depleted. So we have to have reciprocating love. And they said, well, that's human. That's normal. That's survival love. That's the way it works in humans. And that's, in fact, it's a good thing to have. We used to tell our kids, how do you make a friend at church, at school? Be a friend at school, right? It's that kind of thing. Like you pick up the check, I'll take it this time, you take it next time. Make sure that you don't take it every time, right? Because it's reciprocating. That's normal. There's nothing wrong with human love. It's better than being narcissistic and being self-centered and not have any reciprocation at all with people. But it's very low bar. And God's saying, that's not the kind of love I'm talking about. I'm talking about a whole different love that's not transactional. It's this place in which that we can understand that it doesn't deplete us when we give it away. This is a different kind of love. You understand, this Jesus really was in human form in the same position we are, in a perfect relationship with God, and God's love dwelled within him. So when he's on the cross, pretty bad day, right? He's been betrayed, mocked, beaten. They spit on him. He's gambling for his clothes. And now he's looking out over them. And what does he do? He loves them. You know how he can do that? It's like, oh, I'm so tired. I don't want to love them now. No, he could do it because he had God's love in him. God's love never deplenishes. It never runs out. It never causes you to feel depleted as you give it away. Because it's not just you. It's not just human reciprocation or transactional type of love. And so as the body of Christ, we have to understand this is crucial. In fact, when Jesus would talk about this love, he goes, I want you to get this. He says this in John 15. He says, because I want your joy to be complete and I want you to be filled with joy. Yes, joy overflowing. I want you to understand when you love this way, it doesn't deplete you. It builds you up and God is revealed. And so this is a really great verse on the power of this place of us being his body, us being the church, and loving one another more and more deeply. It says, dear friends, since God loved us so much, we ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. You know, the NIV says, and his love is made complete in us. King James says, and his love is perfected in us. And I love that other thing. It says, and God lives in us. The understanding of this is really that when we love, right, something happens that is, it expands. It doesn't deplete. It actually, when love is expressed, when we carry the love of God, and we say, I'm going to give this away. And as we give it away, it doesn't deplete us. It actually expands our vision. See, the understanding here is, I want to see God. I'd love to see God. How do you see God? Love one another. When you start loving one another, you start seeing God. You start seeing the way other people the same way. You start seeing him. His revelation comes in that spot. And then in the process, we're actually brought together. You know, last week, I was, by the way, it's really fun when I don't teach, man. You guys got it made out there, just sitting there. You're bored sometimes, but man, come up here for a while. You'll love sitting out there. I love sitting out there. I was just worshiping. Caleb's doing a great job. I was feeling the Holy Spirit, and I just think this is great. I got prayer for service because it's great. I get prayer because I'm sitting out there. So I got prayer, and the thing is Emily McCall and Dana, prayed for us up there, and I felt God's love just come all over me. Just by them just coming up to me, they gave me God's love. I'm telling you, I don't know what that was, but as they prayed for me, I felt God's love, and guess what? They were so exhausted, they hated it. No, they were feeling God, and we all saw God clear, and we saw one another clear, and we were connected like this. What a deal. Didn't wear out at all. It actually expanded. By the action of it, it showed its full expression. See, God's love doesn't actually show its full expression until it's given. I'm saying? We have it, but until we give it, then it expresses itself. And it's funny, it's second service. So I'm looking around, and all of a sudden you guys are nicer. I love you more. I'm thinking, wow, I used to not like these people as much as I do right now. Wow, this is good. I just had this warm feeling every time I'd see someone, I'd feel this love. What's happening? I'm starting to see differently, right? I'm beginning to see God, right? And then I decide I'm going to go for prayer, and all of a sudden I look back, and there's a person that I think about, and as soon as I see him, not me, because I don't know that, but I love this person. I felt this tremendous love, and so I went and prayed for that person, And the same thing happened. It didn't deplete me at all. It filled me up, and we could see God better, and we're connected together, right? This is what it talks about, the body of Christ being knit together. This is what knits us. It's when we choose to love the other. Now, the cool thing about love, it's so powerful that our love for each other actually convinces the world that we're connected to Jesus. You know, we got an image problem in the church. You know that? You can tell by all the names we did last time. You know, like the church. So let's make it fancier. Let's be slicker. I'm telling you what. What will convince the church, what will convince the world that Jesus is real is when they see a group of people loving in a capacity that's impossible naturally. Loving people who aren't like them, deeply, knitting together. And as I thought about this, I hadn't really ever thought about this much, but I thought, did that ever affect me? And I began thinking about why I stayed soft enough with God all my life. Why I didn't harden myself. Could have a couple of areas I could have gone down roads that just hardened me, but I was never really hard towards God. I thought, what allowed me to not be able to bail on God? I couldn't do it. And really some of it was because of adults I was around in a church I was a part of. The church service was kind of boring and all that, but they used to come over to our house, right? And just, they affected my life. They're so old, they don't even know how to use Facebook, but they write notes to me. They just love, you know? They just love Dottie Holt, who's gone now. Don Holt, my Sunday school teacher, who's gone now. Jackie Owens, who's gone now. I used to kneel in the hall and talk to every grade schooler. Bob and Joan Speak, Beth and Kenny Cowan. I remember they would come to our house, and I would, as a kid, as a junior high, I just wanted to stay in the living room because I could feel it. I could feel something happening that was bigger than human love, right? It's super powerful. If we want to do well as a church, if we want to see people move towards Jesus, we cannot do it by this only. We have to do it by going deeper and opening our lives to greater degrees and being knit together. And that will display to the world, by goodness, I think they know Jesus. I can tell because of their love for each other. Now, so kind of what does this look like? And because, you know, love has lots of crazy definitions in our culture and so tied to different things. So I'd like you to do something. And first off, when it's expressed, it can happen anywhere. So don't just think Sunday or, prayer time or whatever. It can happen in the hallway, it can happen on the playground, happen in a parking lot, it can happen at a coffee with a friend, it can happen in a small group, it can happen in a class, anywhere. You got 2 or 3 or 200 gathered, God's love can come through in this way and connect us. So in thinking that is, God gives some really helpful things to say. You know, he's a great teacher. He doesn't just say, "Good love." He teaches us how to love. He shows us this is what it looks like so you can know, you can recognize it when you see it. So you can step out of these things. So if you'd want to do me a favor and just close your eyes, I want to read some scriptures because sometimes scriptures, just putting scriptures, and this is going to be a mosh of scriptures, but everything I'm saying here is from scripture and sections of it. And so take it in as God's word, but I'm putting there's so much on this, I just thought I'd put it all together. This is what love is like. This is what it's defined at. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. Love is not rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice in injustice. But it celebrates when truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures throughout every circumstance. Love is when we faithfully meet together. Love is when we pray for each other, bless each other, see each other for who God has made the other to be. When we open our lives to one another, when we share our weaknesses, when we confess our sins, when we join into one another's struggle and we weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice, Love is when we are tender-hearted and humble towards a person, that we have an attitude that is looking for their best, genuine affection, delighting in the other, honoring the other, doing good, stirring the other up to good deeds, seeing them as our close brothers and sisters, speaking the truth in love to them, forgiving them as Christ forgave us, choosing to love over being right, making allowances for their faults, advocating for the other, building the other up, sharing whatever God has given us with others, and serving each other. You can open your eyes. I mean, that's a feel. I mean, when you look at that, you can see a couple things. You think, I could use some of that, right? You think, I need more of that. And so does everybody else. Now, the way that we, even if we know what love is and know what God loves is with us inside, I want to talk a little bit about how do we deliver it. If we bring it, like if we're building something, we're building the church, we're saying, and every time we meet, 200, every time we meet, we're going to bring these essentials. We want to start learning to bring these essentials, to be aware and saying, I want to leave room for these things to take place in this time. And so if we go to build something, it might bring a brick or a board, but this is internal. How do we bring that? How do we bring that? How do we make that choice? And I think what's helpful is to just, and for me, is to think in these things, is there's attitude and there's words and there's actions, right? A verse that is really helpful for me is a spot that challenges me of how this thing of love comes from that God has put in us. How does it get out of there into our heart to a point of affecting, right? That step we take. And I think it starts because in Philippians, it starts talking about don't be selfish, don't be trying to impress others, be humble, think of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for only the interest, your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had, who became a servant. He basically, the attitude is, I'm looking for opportunities to bring God's love to people because this is what I'm made for, right? And I want to have this attitude. So when I go into these places, I'm not a consumer. I'm not hardened in my heart. I'm ready to receive from God, but I'm also ready for God to come through me and care about the people around me. And so we do that by those words we speak. You guys ever had those times when someone just says that word to you in the hallway and all of a sudden you're in a different spot, right? You think, I think God just talked to me in the hallway through that person. It really is that powerful. In the space of an action you take. And in that spot is that understanding that this action, though, when you get ready to take this step of an action, you have this attitude, understand it might just not flow at first, right? You guys ever had someone who, I use this example a lot, but, if you ever taught a kid how to ride a bike, they don't understand they can ride a bike. They're made for that. They have to try this, and they start learning. Oh, and then pretty soon they're so hooked they ride the bike, right? They understand that they do it. But at first it feels a bit hard and scary to do. And one of the threats you're going to find when you say, I want my life to fulfill the commands by loving one another. I want to go to another level and begin loving, like have the attitude of Christ. I want to do that. As soon as you get to that point of starting to love someone, the threat is you're going to lose. Your interests will never be taken care of. You're going to not be cared for. You're going to be drained. All those threats are there, which is obviously when it gets mixed in the human, it gets kind of confusing. But when God's love is there, you find He really wants you to get hooked on it. He wants you to learn this is a principle of the kingdom that seems upside down. But if you want to really be fulfilled, be a servant and love people at levels you couldn't possibly do humanly, be out of not your love, but God's love. This is something that's why we see all the time in Scripture of, oh, well, if the last shall be first, whoever wants to hold on to their life will lose it, but who gives his life away will find it. This is all tied to this upside down principle, and it's really the spot of choosing to love another person, going for the interests of other people. And at first, it's scary. It's like, I don't think this is going to work. But God is not saying, oh, you need to love more people. I know it's hard, but try it. No, he's saying, I want you to get hooked on this. This is what you're made for. If you can learn this principle, all of a sudden you realize he takes care of your needs, but you have to keep stepping out in the spot of putting another person's interest above their own. To me, that's really what it gets down to. I have my interest, and I have your interest, and I think, I don't want my interest. And that choice to hear what God's saying and step forward, it releases this love in you. And I, as you look at that, I think that, you know, a verse you've heard before, especially during expansion projects, is a verse like this in Luke. Give and it will, and you will receive. The gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over and poured out into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Now, when we hear that, it does apply to finances and generosity of our finances, but it's talking about our life. It's talking about giving ourselves away in love to other people by choice. And you know what's funny about that is the context of that, if you've ever read that verse, often it's only referred to as financial or material things. But in the context of the verse, you know what it starts out with? Don't judge others. Don't condemn others. But instead, give. Right? Our default is often critiquing and holding and watching our interest, and God's saying, I want your default to be giving. And if you do that, I open things up in ways you can't experience any other way. So, just think about this. Imagine this next Sunday, everybody in this room coming, thinking, I have God's love, and I am going to give it away as much as I can. I mean, just think that grew to another degree, what the effect would be on God showing up in this place, right? And so this week, so part of my challenge is this, and the thing about it, God is really good about kind of teaching you how to do this, but he has a path for helping you teach you how to do this. Today, before you leave, bring God's love to somebody. If you don't have anybody, just come up to me and do something really nice. No, just you. I mean, anybody, you just think of somebody, and just, it can be, you don't have to hug them and kiss them, just you may speak a concerted word to them. You may just think, I want to do that, right? How do you do that? And then the other thing is whenever you attend anything this week, whether you're going to Vineyard Beginnings, which I hope if you're new, you come to Vineyard Beginnings, or if you're going to a class, or if you're going to a small group, or you're doing worship practice, or whatever you're doing, think, okay, there's more than one person here. I can bring this essential of love into this situation. So would you stand?